Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you're the player, the coach, or the trainer, or the doctor, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple at On Cue, to inspire and equip all to help them lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem, in essence, building a way of life. He CUE them up. CUE is an acronym for C is for common ground. It is what we can agree on. It's the why we've come together. U is the unified thought. It's what vision can be shared. It's what we're going to do. And then E is equally yoked. It's what is the game plan? What's success look like? And what's my role in that? It's how we get it done. So collectively, Q Leadership integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model in helping you to do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you, discipleship. So as we always do, we want to start our show with a word of prayer. Lord, you are a powerful, merciful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q Leadership is your brainchild and our calling in your name. We honor you today, Lord, by doing two things, giving you the glory, and secondly, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and in perfect will of God. So, Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose, align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call and receive the call, and help us raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, as our show, we like to have a dialogue. We like to have a conversation about leadership in God's Word, equip leaders with the roadmap to tap into faith and building that trust and building discipleship. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness and who are being transformational in their own sphere of influence. Our show is a lot of things, but our show is not to criticize, but to shine a light in truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus mere on the mere symptoms of a problem, but the root of the problem. Really treat the infection, not the runny nose. So as today is with any day, let's help us be open and pray that we hear the Lord and not me. Have the right questions. And no matter what the questions are, no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there may be differences of opinion, but if they do, let's do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners in the day. So friends, we're beginning of the summer, but we're closing in on another football season. It's really right around the corner. It brings an excitement to the country and to the world. It brings back some memories on a lot of us, and as well as a lot of excitement for the season, if it's the pros, if it's college, if it's high school, as well as Little League. We love them all. But there seems to be a cloud that's building around the game and at all levels, especially for the NFL. You know, the cloud, in a sense, is player health. Football has some common injuries from sprains and strains to more serious injuries to dealing with the spine, the spinal cord, and the brain and the hearts and minds around this game. Everyone has this one word on their minds. It's called concussions. And there are currently almost 300 losses have been filed against the NFL. It encompasses over about 5,000 former players. And, of course, the league has a recent settlement offering about $750 million, and it was yet to be divided up. And there's some big names in this. And just recently, Tony Dorsett and as well as Dan Marino, all have some head or brain-related injuries. And so the game is changing because of these injuries and people, players are bigger, faster, stronger. It really is the game's changing in order to protect what they call defenseless players. Started almost a decade ago by the league banning hits on kickers. Now it's banning hits on quarterbacks at any time after change of possession. On players who are receiving a blindside block from a blocker and who's moving down the line, and no one can really hit him from behind again or from the side. A receiver is banning hits on a receiver who has completed a catch who is a defenseless player at any time and before he becomes a runner, and even protecting quarterbacks, even especially starting after Aikman with his injuries and so forth, and calling penalties from shots to the head, and it's also been better assesses of cushions on the sideline. But, you know, removing players from the game to some point, they've been really focused on that, has in order to better diagnose and sometimes suspect having sustained a concussion. But, you know, believe me, no player I know will want to leave that game. You know, and I know about these injuries, of course, and I always try to bring a testimony on my end to the conversation, and especially know about concussions. I had one real bad concussion in my sophomore year in college. Not that I played in the pros, but it was pretty serious, and so serious to where it went from a grade 1 to almost grade 5 or 6 overnight. Stayed a few days in the hospital, and it was a pretty tough time for all of us. Missed a lot of classes, and as well as, you know, although we had had some of the best sports medicine staff in the game. You know, starting with our trainers, Coach Jim Skidmore, Bill Clancy, who went from the famed South, Health South with Dr. Andrews and that whole group, Dr. Goodley, who also heads the Auburn staff now. We really had a rigorous set of tests in order to get back into the game, in order to play. And so essentially 3 or 4 staff would come around and kind of watch. I failed the first assessment. I failed it. It didn't get halfway through. And then the second assessment, 2 weeks later, I completed it, but admittedly, my head was still throbbing. Stating was spinning. I lied about to get back on the field and call it irresponsible, but there's nothing going to stop me being able to be a part of that championship march, because we ended up winning a national championship that year. But the biggest thing for me was I lost my ability to comprehend things from the academics perspective. I've never had to study up until that point. I really had to reteach myself to study and understand that to after some years talking to a good friend of mine who knows about these things. I had been beating myself up for years because I struggled for a while academically in the end of my college years. But however, the great thing about it, you know, having to teach myself to study, now I understood what people go through because I had a certain arrogance about my intelligence at some point. And at the end of the day, though, about, I say, 8 to 9 years later, when my daughter Kennedy was about 2 years old, it came back. It didn't come back all together, all the 100%, but 80% of that ability to attain things and absorb things easily came back. And I just called the Lord, probably just heal my brain, kind of heal those brain stems at some point. And that's not always the case with everybody, but you know, the game is really getting bigger, faster, and stronger. You know, players, parents, coaches, physicians, and all have been educated on identifying and managing these symptoms around concussions. You know, is prevention the key? You know, does the culture around sports injuries need to change? Do players need to self-report concussions on a regular basis, or how to establish some return to game guidelines that everyone can agree with? And really, is it trying to understand that, you know, getting hit sometimes may not always be the best thing, but however be recognized when those symptoms come about. You know, while almost no one in America wants to see this gridiron turn into a flag football or a two-hand touch, you know, we have to figure out our question of the day, though, how to keep the head in the game. And you know, and how to keep the head in the game, helping us with that question is a good friend and a good confidant, Byron Williams, who is president of NFL Players Association based here in Dallas. He represents almost 500 players, former players, who live in an area. He was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 1983 and he played a total of 12 seasons of professional football. He's a hero to many, and I say that because he has a passion for serving, he has a passion for the Lord, has a passion for kids, and we'll be well-served to hear from. So after the break, we'll bring on Byron Williams and start our conversation around NFL health ahead in the game. So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call us or make any comments you want at 310-861-2331 to ask a question. Feel free to press 1 on your telephone, and that raises your hands virtually, and my daughter Kennedy can bring you in, or even join us on our live chat room on Blog Talk Radio and have a conversation. We would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership plan, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Back. Thanks for staying with us and listening on cue. And your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. So today's question of the day, NFL health, how to keep your head in the game. We have our special guest here helping us with this question, Mr. Byron Williams, who is the president of the NFL Players Association here in Dallas. Who he represents almost 500 players here in the area. He's drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 1983, played receiver for almost 12 years of professional career, and as I shared earlier, he is absolutely a hero to many because he really makes an impact no matter where he goes. Hey, Byron, welcome. How are you?
Hey, thank you. I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. I know you had a long weekend, and we'll get to some of those particularly, but I appreciate you taking the time out.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Brian, as we always start our show with the first two questions, and they're always pretty standard, but I know the second one's probably kind of trivial. But let's start with the first one. What is that one word that describes you, Byron?
I would say disciple, more like a disciplined type person that's always in the process of helping, especially our young people. So I would say more like the disciple.
Disciple. I love that. I love that, and I can see that true and true. You know, so in a sense, the second question is usually if money was no issue, what would you doing every day? But you are doing it every day. You've been a disciple. And can you talk about your passion around what you do each and every day, not only just for the chapter, but also just for the kids?
Yeah, sometimes I train kids, specialized training as well as go around and mentoring boys, you know, going to schools, sitting in the classroom with boys that don't have fathers, you know, doing stuff at the church, you know, where it's helping out an academy, always, you know, passing out shoes, and every now and then I give a kid that needs some money in college, pay for a pizza when I know they might not be getting the proper help from some other resources. So things like that I do. I got a list of kids that I mentor as well as help try to get them to, you know, stay on track of doing the right thing as well as having a relationship with the Lord. I think that's very important.
Yeah, a true disciple, serving forth what the Lord calls you to do. You know, we're gonna jump in a few things, but I just want to, you know, tell us a little bit more about you, and your wife and kids, you know, how long you've been married, those type of things. Kind of let the audience kind of understand the man underneath Byron Williams here.
Okay, I married my high school sweetheart. We are both from Texarkana, which is half of the city is on the Arkansas side and half of it on the Texas side. And I grew up on the Texas side of a population about 60,000 people over there. And my wife is from the Arkansas side. And we've been dating since 79, right before I went to college. And we got married right after my rookie year with the Giants in 83. So we've been married 30 years and 6 months now. And we have two daughters. My oldest daughter just turned 30 last week, and my youngest daughter is 25. She's a graduate from the University of Texas. My oldest daughter went to Texas State down in San Marcos.
Right, right. We're great. Well, hey, congratulations. Long, long live, long marriage is awesome. You know, I when you first told me about you guys from Texas, Canada, you know, I spent a lot of time up in there when I first moved to Texas in that area. But it really and truly is the same city, same hometown, but different states, right?
Yeah, right. It's amazing. I was there, just got back from the day, but they have a post office right down the middle of the state line, and they have a Arkansas, and then they have a Texas. And a lot of people just go down, and tourists, they'll take a picture of that post office. And then when you travel down the road of state line, the right side, if you're heading south, the right side is Texas and the left side is Arkansas. And when we grew up, you couldn't get alcohol or beer or anything on the Texas side. People always had to go to the Arkansas side of state line to get some alcohol or whatever. But it's really interesting growing up down there. You know, Ross Perot grew up there, and, you know, Willie Davis grew up there, so it's some great guys who've gone through and lived there, and we have a major league baseball player that played third baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Went to my high school, so, and I can get into that later, but it's a lot of celebrities, a lot of people kind of grew up within a 20-30 miles radius of that city.
Right, a lot of powerful people, including yourself, you know. Tell us about, you know, your high school years and college career, because really and truly I want to get to, you know, your 20th annual football camp that you just held this weekend. And just kind of tell a little bit about, you know, your experience there, and then we can jump right into, you know, how your camps came about and how it's been able to sustain all these years.
Correct. I was telling my best friend that went to University of Texas, all of them, that I want to go back and maybe do a camp, because I was growing up, I, you know, creating a plan on a large scale, and I wanted to see if we can bring some players down. But God put it in my heart in 1995 to start a football camp, and I asked my best friend, so what should I call it? They just called it Byron Williams Football Camp, and because I was going to call it Texas County Camp or all four state camp. But, you know, when I grew up, to answer your first question, I grew up in the, like, I went to the littlest high school called Liberty Yalo, which we just had a kid get drafted from my school just this year, but LaMichael James is from the high school as well. But I got drafted. I mean, so I went to that Liberty Isle High School, which is a smaller school, and I played both safety and wide receiver, and never to come off the field. But how I got noticed and how I got recruited was a guy named Frank Roberts. He was an all-state center, and all the college coaches was coming down to recruit Frank Roberts. And, you know, my hat's off to Frank Roberts because that's how I got noticed, and that's how a lot of the colleges started seeing me. And they said, who was that little number three? And I asked the coach, and then that's how I got my scholarship. So, and I tell kids, sometimes you might not be the recruited heavy, you might not be the main attraction, but after a while, somebody, if you keep doing the right thing, somebody will notice you, and, you know, hard work does pay off, and that's why we do the football camps. And so I started the football camps in 1995, and so this was my 20th year this weekend. We always do the football camp the week after Father's Day weekend. We've been consistent on the date. I had Tony Dorsett down there. The first year we started, we had Billy Sims, and then the second year we had Tony Dorsett. So it started that way. I can recall we had 80 kids the first football camp, and we only had as many as 350 kids at the camp. And I have hosted the football camp at every high school down there, on the Arkansas side, on the Texas side, at my high school. So we got four high schools down there in the city of Texarkana. So so I get a chance to move it around and try to reach out to every little community that those high schools are located. But now we done turn it into even a bigger event. We call it the NFL Hometown Weekend. So this was the 13th year to do the NFL Hometown Weekend, but it was the 20th year to do the Byron Williams Football Camp.
Wow, and congratulations on that, and longevity. You know, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of passion, because at the end of the day, you are impacting some kids along the way. So your camp turned out pretty well this 20th year?
Yes, it did. We had a total of about 180 kids total, because what we added about 10 years ago, we added the cheerleaders. While we're doing the football camp, we got the girls in there doing the cheer part of it. And, in fact, Rod Smith, the wide receiver that played with the Denver Broncos, he kind of brought that portion and brought that part because he was dating a cheerleader that was an Atlanta Falcon. And so we had the Atlanta Falcon cheerleaders to come, and then later on we had the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders to come. And now we just use the people down there that got some mature expertise, and they do the cheer camp. And so at the conclusion of the camp, like yesterday, we had all the kids and the parents, and then we did our awards. But at the end, the girls would come and do a cheer for the football boys. And also I addressed the boys and let them know, hey, be very respectful, show them the utmost respect. And it just make better for how these boys should act in the proper setting. So it's a lot of learning in the football camp and the children camp. So that's the good thing about that.
Yeah, it's really about life in a lot of different ways, right? You know, as you kind of go through that process, you know, when you speak to kids, and I know you kind of help them set goals and understand how to succeed in life, you know, why is that important to you, Byron?
Well, I think I just appreciate looking back on my life. You know, I think God put us in situations where we can learn and we can benefit from life lessons. And I think when these kids understand that, I grew up, I'm one of 10 kids, I'm the 8 out of 10, and I actually told everybody yesterday I was no better than my brothers and sisters, but I'm the first out of 10 to go to college. And I say, God, why is that? He said, well, Byron, look at it. You was the most obedient to your mom and dad. And so what I try to tell these kids, even the littlest things like taking out the trash, making up your bed, saying yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and being really respectful, treat people like you want to be treated. I think those things is the number one thing that a kid can have and bring to the table. You bring your attitude and you bring your willingness, and God will do the rest. And I try to tell them, just read and search the Bible and find scripture and apply it to your life. I'm so happy that God has given me so many testimonies. You know, I think sometimes we forget about the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And those Ten Commandments is really simple. And I ask the kids something like, do you want to hang around somebody to smoke, or do you want to hang around somebody to drop out of school? And they'll say no. I said, that's what the Ten Commandments is about. It's a yes and no. And it's a live application that you can really, you know, change the perspective of how you live. But yet, you can also see how God can move you and use you, and you can help other people that's lacking or think they need a word of encouragement. So, you know, our testimony is one of the most powerful things that we have. And I think, you know, God is always want us to use that to help other people to get out of their situations.
Absolutely. You know, you're so right. A testimony is for him. And, you know, I want you to go back and restate what you just shared about bring your attitude and bring your willingness so people can really help absorb that point, because I think that's a key quote there. Can you share that one more time?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I do the ABCs. When I speak to kids, and, you know, I think every day life begins with your attitude. I'll put the ABCs on it. A being your attitude. Your attitude is who you are, and it describes you. I tell kids all the time, you can walk in the classroom and teachers know if you have the right attitude or not. They know if you're willing to learn. They know that you're willing to listen. They know if you do your homework. Just little things can separate you. And then also, if you got a 79 and you've been real courteous and real nice to that teacher, she'll give you that 1 point. I had asked for 1 point many a day just to do an AB on a row. So I know,
right.
firsthand. I also tell kids, every time I get in front of kids, I always give away a 20. Yesterday I gave away a 20 to a girl and a 20 to a boy. Because my high school coach said, Byron, you know what, if you can make the AB on a row, every time I'm going to give you $20. So every 6 weeks, our first thing I would do is run to the gym, and the coach would give me $20 because I was on AB honor roll. And I didn't know what my coach was doing, but what he was doing is instilling in me the educational component that, you know, football is good. I was a great basketball player, and also became a world-class sprinter in track. I ran a 4.23 40 and I ran a 10.1 300 meters. But my main focus when I talk to these kids, that $20 changed my whole outlook about not only education, but also about the abilities and talents and the gifts that we have that's inside of us.
Wow. It's amazing how now you're paying it forward. That coach did it for you, and you're doing it for other folks. That's absolutely awesome. Being a disciple, right?
Being a disciple, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Go ahead.
But I was just thinking, you know, it's amazing that last month my coach's son, he was a junior, he was a year behind me. He said, Byron, I want to fly you and four-year NFL guys out here to do a football camp in Phoenix. So my coach's son owned a multi-million-dollar operation, and he was out in Phoenix, and he just said, I want you. He flew us out to San Diego to do a football camp when his son was in the fifth and sixth and seventh grade. So you can see how God can use your talents and your gifts and your passion, and you can reach back and see that other people can see that. And now you're changing a community. You're changing a classroom. You're changing that individual. I have even had parents call me at the football camp and say, I don't know what you told my son, but he's making up his bed. He's taking out the trash. Because we try to hit these points on how to get better, how to be the best that you can be, and how not to use negativity to bring you down, to bring your thought process down. And there's been so many testimonies. I want to share this about, we had a grant. We had 3,000 pairs of shoes. So I've done a football camp for Terrell. I've done six or seven football camps for Terrell Lawrence. I've done, you know, on my 10th or 12th camp, we had shoes, and we were giving out these shoes to these kids. So one kid said, his name was Tony, said, hey, coach, somebody took my shoes. I said, look, Tony, don't worry about those shoes. When I get home, I will send you a pair. And so I slipped his address and stuff in my pants, and I forgot where I put it. And then 2 weeks later, I found it, found his address. I said, man, let me send this to rest these shoes to Tony. Well, when I sent his shoes, his dad and mom called me in tears. They said, Byron, you know what? Tony received his shoes on his birthday. Not only that, Byron, he had his best high school game that Friday. And we just want to thank you from the bottom of our heart what you did for our son, because you kept your word and, you know, the shoes got there on time. And I said, you know, that's just God. That's how God can use a pair of shoes to change the perspective of a kid, of a kid's heart.
Amen. He can use a pair of shoes. He can use a $20 bill, and he can use a Byron Williams as a disciple. This is good stuff. It's absolutely, friends, this is a testimony that that we got to continue to hear. But so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring you back and continue our dialogue around the NFL. We'll eventually get the health stuff, but you got to understand who we have on the phone here, because it's committed. Follower of the Lord. So we'll continue our conversation with Byron Williams and around our question of the day, NFL health head in the game. So during the break, stay with us. Call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or even to make a comment if you like. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. This is UnQ. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue. How do you lead a people who are scarred, who are broken, who are helpless?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue this calling on your lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Full is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. To help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. We're taking calls at 310-861-2331, and our question of the day is NFL health, how to keep your head in the game. And we have Mr. Byron Williams, who's the president and of the NFL Players Association here in Dallas, who represents almost 500 players and drafted back in 1983, played 12-season professional football. And as you heard in the last, our initial segment, why he is a hero to most, why he has a passion for kids, because at the end of the day, he is a disciple with a testimony. And I just love your quote, Byron, of where you bring your attitude and bring your willingness, God will do the rest. How great is that?
Yeah, I just, I just think the Lord for giving me some insight. You know, when you sit and pray and you spend some time with him, he gives you some words, and sometimes he speak. I mean, sometimes he just speak and speak through you and use you. And you know you're on the right track when you can get that kind of willpower, you know?
Yep, absolutely, on the right track. You know, before we jump into one of the meat of the substance, also I just wanted to kind of let the audience know not only that you provide and do your own camps, but you also help other players. You just recently did a star, Mike Crabtree, and a few others over the last week or so. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I did. This was my second time to host and direct Michael Crabtree camp. We was here in Dallas at SMU. We had over 300 kids last week, and it was a great camp. He had some celebrities, or some teammates here, and some of his best friends came to town. And, you know, Frank Gore came. Ted Gant Jr., the wide receiver, just signed with Arizona Cardinals. Delaney Walker, who used to be with the 49ers now, he plays with the Tennessee Titans. DeMarcus Love, who used to be a starting center for the Minnesota Vikings. So he had not only Von Miller was here, went to Texas A&M to play for the Denver Broncos. So he had a great list of players with him, and we had some kids out there from ages 7 to 17. And then we had some local coaches. Coach Williams from Carter High School was there. That was just a good camp.
Yeah, great. That is great to hear, and I appreciate you inviting me out to the function the night before. And the only thing my daughter wants to know is, did Kaepernick make it?
Oh, no. He had just signed a big contract. I think he didn't make it. So I think he would have made it
two weeks prior to,
but yeah, he signed a big contract. So, yeah, he didn't make it. Tell her that we might need to work on getting her autograph, though.
Right. Absolutely. So Barry, you played a long time in professionally in the game, and there's no doubt that you love the game. You've dedicated your life to that, and as well as with kids. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and we'll talk about your best game, and then really how did you stay healthy for 12 seasons? Talk about that.
Well, I lifted a lot of weights and ran a lot. I said earlier I ran a 4.23, and every team I played on, I was the fastest guy. Maybe one guy was faster than me on one team, but I bench pressed 360 pounds back in the day, so I was in top tip shape. But back in the day, you got a concussion, you got hit pretty hard, and players could leave with the head, shoulder, anything. And then they didn't have the cautiousness and the awareness of what they're going through now with the concussion protocol. Back then, they said you had to bear run. And then they brought some smelling salts over there, and you actually got back in the game. Sometimes you get to bear run in practice. The deal and the problem, I think, is now they knew about the seriousness of concussions, and they knew what players were going to be faced with years later. And so now that's what that big lawsuit is all about. I think that the owners would have just been very just honest about the seriousness of the problem to the head and the brain with the dimensions and some of the players dying, like Mike Webster and Junior Seau. These guys committed suicide. And so now a lot of the facts have came out, and so these attorneys and these lawyers have really taking it to a whole nother level. Now, in my situation, I have had, tons of concussions. The worst concussion I ever had was I got hit, against the Washington Redskins and broke my jaw, and they took me out. And woke up, and I was on the bus. I don't even remember taking a shower.
Right.
Back then, I asked you how many fingers you holding up, what's your name, or what's your birthday. Those are things that you automatically could answer. So back then, they didn't have the right the protocol for it, signs,
sure,
and how you could be tested. So, but I kind of got on the concussion case because it's really one of the biggest focus points and subjects that's going around the country. But let me flip back. I did have my best NFL game was against the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill Sims' first 400 yards he ever threw in a game. I had 167 yards a game, and also a 65-yard touchdown. So I played on every team. I was considered the best blocker. So we ran the ball quite a bit. We were more of a running team with the Giants than a passing team. So. They put us in situations based on our skills and our talents.
Right, absolutely. So you're bail wrong a little bit. I remember the smelling salt, and can you hold up a few fingers, early on when I started playing. But, of course, now that we know more, there's definitely a lot of rigorous tests that are happening, so which is kind of part of your role as a president in the NFLPA. And we'll get into some details, but just kind of share your role as president here and some of the things and programs and things that you get the former and also current players engaged in order from an education perspective. Can you talk about your role?
Yeah, my role is I got all the guys' email and telephone numbers and any main subject, I can send out information. We meet once a month, usually the third week of the month. Sometimes we meet at a local hospital called Scottish Rite. Sometimes we can meet at different businesses and places like that. But I keep players up on subjects about what's going on around the league. Like we just had a health fair where they had the pro players, player care foundation came in and did whoever wanted a physical, free physical from top to bottom. They did that, and then they sent out the blood work and all that, and you could tell a couple of guys had to go back in and get checked for their hearts and stuff like that. So they do have money set aside for players. They just came up with a new program called the Player Trust Foundation, where players that have been on the league less than 15 years have money available to them and their wives if they want to get their degree completion, if they have a health issue, if they need to have surgery. They have money set aside for those things. They have money set aside to help people that don't have money to help send their kids to college. So anything on the medical side, with players that play 1 year, 2 year, we have a program that can assist players. We got the Gene Upshaw Trust Foundation that if a player has some hardship, can't pay their mortgage, something like that, have some medical bills that they can't pay, we have money set aside to help those players out. I think right now it's about 12,000 to 15,000 retired players. Each year you have 200 to 400 people that pass away and die. And then you have about that same minute coming out of the league that retire. This past week we had Brady James, who just retired last month, came to our meeting. And it was such a refreshing to have a young guy who just got out of the league. He played for years for the Cowboys and played the last couple of years for the Houston Texans. And he came to our meeting. And just to hear him say that he wanted to be involved with us and some of the things that we do in the communities, I know he's with the Cancer Foundation, Brady is, and, you know, we got guys, we play in golf tournaments, we have people raise money, walk-a-thons and different drives and community activities. We're going to the schools and help schools and motivational speaking. We got a speaking bureau that we go and guys participate in. But it's just an overall program. It's a 501c6, which is a member-only group, and we pay dues every year. And then we are able to go in and like last year, I went down to West ISD for that fertilizer explosion, and we raised money for the city and the community down there. So we do a lot of things like that. And lastly, it's 32 chapters across the country. And these chapters individually have their own. We got three chapters here in the state of Texas. We have a chapter in Houston, which is Mickey Washington. We went to A&M, defensive back. And then San Antonio Austin chapter is ran by Priest Holmes, who played with the Kansas City Chiefs with the University of Texas. So, but each chapter, you know, kind of individually ran, and the members run it, their wives help. So it's a very good thing to kind of keep all of us in the game and stay on top of the latest news and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who are just chiming in, we have Byron Williams. He's the president of the NFL Players Association. He is talking about his testimony, not only just and also his work of helping educate former players and their families around, if it's careers, education, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, just brain and body, just the whole makeup of a player, right, Byron, you would say?
Correct. It's everything. Because, you know, you never know what these players are going through. And, you know, and a lot of these players are really, really got a lot of pride, so they're private. And so, but we got a lot of assistance in place to help guys and to educate them, make those transitions. You know, the hardest thing for players is life after football. What do I do next? And so now we got so many programs that can assist these players, and that's a really good, encouraging thing for us now.
Sure. You know, help. Let's stop there for a second. It's the wilderness, as you call it, right? You know, no matter if you played the game, how long you ever played, there is a period of time where you're in that wilderness, right? Can you help
exactly.
understand that, I don't know if it's from a spiritual, from a mental, from a physical, when it's over, it is tough to move forward. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and, you know, you experience it on all different levels. You know, guys now, they don't think about the next 5 years or 10 years. One of the things I tell guys all the time, you know, there's so many people when you're on a list, and information is so easy to get now. So when you come out of college, you know, you get all these agents, guys want to represent you, and people are talking to you, and then you got your family members that saying, hey, this guy goes to have millions, blah, blah, blah. And then you got the friends and your buddies and stuff, and then you got the females, and so it's a lot of things in the equation. And so what I try to tell these young guys, hey, NFL stands for not for long. Whether you play 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, that's still not for long. So you have to set yourself up for life after football, I think. You got to be ready for all these traps out there. You got drug people that are trying to sell you drugs. You know, you got the kid that played with New England, the Hernandez case, that he couldn't make a transition from gangs to being a criminal. So you got all this mixture of different types of behavior and involvement and people that's pulling and people that want you to do things for them. And so, you know, and these guys know that. And so you're the hero when at your hometown and you go to these clubs and you target. People pick a fight with you so they can sue you and stuff like that. So it's really, really crazy. But it's where a person needs to know about being in the wilderness when you're in the wilderness and what the elements are and what, you know, how you can you know, get out of these traps. And I think every team got around anywhere between 15 to 20% of guys that's so called, you know the Lord real well. And so I always used to walk around the locker room and guys have problems, they would always ask guys that have a relationship with God, could you pray for me? Can you help me? Can you, you know, lift up to the Lord? And so you have to give a testimony to these guys because, you know, you share that you're better off with God than not having. So it's really amazing that each team still have spiritual leaders like the Reggie Whites and so forth. And that's a really, really good thing. So, that's kind of, you know, the life of guys who, you know, they face with different circumstances like everybody else, you know. So.
Sure. Life doesn't stop just because you're playing football, right, at the end of the day, you know. And we won't get onto it now, but that really makes even press upon what we're trying to do together with Q Leadership, and that's for another time, another subject. But it, all these points you talked about, it makes it so vital at the end of the day, right? And
correct.
Yep. And so, you know, I want to shift gears here for a second. You know, as you take in all what you do from dealing with kids, dealing with professionals, if it's former or current players, dealing with community, being a disciple and serving, and now add into the whole element around player health, especially around concussions, you know, how has teaching and coaching the game and change, or what changes must we make, or what changes are you making during your camps around the safety of the game?
Well, the safety of it is one of the fastest-growing components that's out there now. You got the UIL, which is the Texas High School Interscholastic program that regulates the high school program. They are have in place now. Every high school and junior high have to have a education component about concussions and how to hit and what to look for, key factors of signs of severe concussions and different stages of concussions. So the education component is in place now, I think, for a lot of people. You got, you know, it's probably going to be a part of your physical, where you can take a concussion awareness test, and then they can if you happen to get hit pretty hard in the game, they can bring you to the sideline and they can read this test and see if you can recall certain things. and certain things that are not just common, but things that, you know, that you tested before the football season. It's some unique things that they're doing, some advanced testing. But yeah, you know, the increase in the knowledge and the improvement of the game is really is really becoming revolved around. They got a tape now that can show you how to hit, how to keep your head up. Also, this weekend they just had a training. They had about 300 coaches, I think, in at the Cowboys complex, showing they had like a training coaches convention, showing coaches that they can go back and teach their kids ways to hit that's safe and keep the integrity of the game as well.
Yep, absolutely. And it's becoming even more vital, no matter what level you're in order to sustain even your play, if it's high school, college, or even in the pros 12 years like you did. It's vital at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, I actually played the game of football from age 10 to age 35, and that 25 right. years of just playing football every year of my life, 25 years, so... You know, it probably took some years off my life as well, but it was something that the Lord allowed me to do, and I'm really thankful and grateful and honored to be a part of a game. I call it a game of war because it's really war when you get up on the football field.
Would you change anything? Would you do anything differently, or you just do it all over again the same?
I would probably do mostly everything the same. I think now they putting some things in place to help the game feel safe. I think a lot of guys could take cheap shots at players if they wanted to. I think now guys are holding up, and I think the speed of the game in the NFL is just incredible. It's really fast paced. If you really want to get excited, just stand on the sideline over the NFL game, and you can hear the talking and the speed and the hits, and it's really just a massive game. But you really appreciate the game. You can appreciate the game because now it's become so popular, and people are excited about it, and people got their colors and their team logos and their favorite players, which is good. And then, you know, you got the Xboxes and all this PlayStation stuff that they have. They even make the game more exciting with fans and the Twitter and the Facebook. So, you know, when we did Michael Crabtree football camp and we advertised this football camp, we had 300 kids sign up in 2 hours because he's that popular. So, and that just shows you the technology and the social side of it now is just incredible.
Very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
You know, giving all of this, giving the more safety awareness, and I'm sure technology is going to catch up at some point, if it's helmets or whatever the case is, you know, how you think the game, if this will change the game. It's changed it so much already, and even some of the purists are saying, even though you understand the whole element of making sure players are safe, but how far will it go? Do you think, or how push?
The interesting thing is, I was involved with a company last year that had a product, a Kevlar product that you put inside your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Kevlar product, we put this product inside, called Unequal. We put this product inside the helmet of a couple of high schools for the first time. One high schooler in Dallas didn't have a concussion for the first time. So products like that that's coming out. Kevlar was a military product that started in the military, bulletproof vest. So what happened is when you have a head-on collision, it takes away the shock. So now this product that they have, and I've seen some helmets. I even seen pictures of what the uniform and helmet's going to look like in 2020 or 2018. So technology is really going to help change the game too. They're going to have stuff that probably can go all the way down your face mask, where you can't even get inside the face of a helmet. They're coming out with a baseball cap as well, that if a baseball player gets hit in the head, that this protective covering on these hats and these caps can protect the brains and the skull. So technology really going to change the game. I think the integrity of the game is going to be still the same, but you'll see products that's coming out that are going to really change the way kids and the players get hit and how those injuries are going to relate to their new technology.
Right. Wow. Wow. So you see something like that 2018 and beyond, that you will see some changes like that from technology?
Oh, yeah. I can share with you a couple of videos right now, and you can see already that the game has changed. Like Clark, they came out last year with a thigh pad. If a player gets hit with a thigh in the thigh pad, this little thin pad could take that hit and absorb that hit, and you won't feel a thing. And you can actually hit a person in the thigh with a baseball bat, and he won't even hardly feel that compact. That impact.
Wow. Wow, I can see that. That gets rid of Charlie horses, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think you'll see also some technology in the Kevlar, they call it bulletproof stuff, and it's really going to absorb a lot of the blows and injury and hits. So you'll see some of that gear that's on these players. Even in basketball, they got some stuff that they can wear. You see these guys wearing stuff up on their jerseys and their shorts and that's some of the same product that they have to wherever they fall and slip. You know, you don't get the ribs and all that type of stuff. In fact, Tony Romo and Michael Vick been wearing this for the last couple of years as well. They've been okay. Promoted as well. So you'll see that the technology part is coming online.
Sure, and it's not as bulky either. It's just really just some thin, good technology, right?
Right, and it's very light, so it's not heavy or bulky, exactly.
Okay. Well, great. That's exciting to see some of that. You know, as we look at, you know, the stories that are happening, you hear, watch the video on Dorsett, you know, what he's dealing with. You mentioned Junior Seau, and, of course, as recently Dan Marino. And even from, I know recently, the settlement of almost about $750 million, you know, is that, I don't know if you can officially answer this without getting certain that you can tell me that, but will that be enough to cover all what you see and all the experiences that some of these players are having?
Well, right now, the only thing I can say that it's in limbo. They actually put an amount to it initially, but the judge is right now is trying to see if that's enough for the settlement. And so right now they're trying to do all the assessment. I think it's going to probably go up in the amount of the award.
Mm-hmm.
But I think players are going to be having some type of reward because most of the other players that played in the NFL have received some type of concussion. So originally you had under 5,000 players on the original lawsuit.
Right.
Now you got a lot of players and a lot of attorneys that is really trying to push the button on getting more guys involved, and certain guys, like the big name guys, been waiting and hadn't decided what to do. A lot of players are in the limbo stages, but you know, a lot of these guys have some severe dementia problems and so forth. So right now, the judge is kind of going to be deciding here pretty soon what that amount is going to be and what these stages are. I can't say this. I think they're going to put categories and factors in it. Like if you're from age 50 to 55, if you play so many years, you'll be rated at this particular rated. If you're between 40 and 45, if you play 10 years, you know, you play 2 years. So you're going to be put in those kind of categories just based off of your life experiences, what you're dealing with now as a person. How many times have you been to the doctors, or how many times have you blacked out? Do you have headaches, frequent headaches? So a lot of that stuff going to dictate the awards for a lot of players as well.
So you take age, tenure, experience, health issues, put them all in this formula somewhere and try to figure out what that is, that dollar amount percolator, right?
Right, right. They're definitely going to have a formula, and based off the number of years and what you've been experiencing and what game that it happened in. So players going to have to do some, you know, go back and look at some of the history and keep a log on what's going on with them and their families.
Sure, sure. Well, great. Well, great. Hey, so we're gonna take a quick break here, Byron. We have Byron Williams, the president of the NFL Players Association here in Dallas, and our question of the day is how to keep your head in the game. So during the break, feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. If you got any questions for Byron, it'd be a good time to reach out and call and ask that. Call the number 310-861-2331. You can press 1 on your telephone, and that raises your hands virtually, and my daughter Kennedy can bring you in. We'd love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting on cue with God's will and His purpose. We'll take our call. Our number here is 310-861-2331. We have Byron Williams. He is the president of the NFL's Player Association here in Dallas. Represents almost 500 players, drafted in 1983 and played 12 seasons professionally. True testimony to what a service and disciple is. And where our question of the day is, we're talking about NFL health and really how to keep your head in the game. So Byron, before the break, we're talking about the potential new evaluations and formulas of what settlements may be regarding some of the player health, especially around concussions with the NFL Players Association. And so thanks for staying with us during the break. When we look at that, there's a lot of things that may go into new players that come into the game. And my daughter has a great question here. She wants to pose to you. Give me a second here, Kennedy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Kennedy?
I'm great. My question was that if a college player had many concussions or concussion How would that evaluate themselves going to the NFL?
So will it be a factor in the evaluations? Is that being considered, Brian?
Yes, that would be a big factor. Nate Newton's son, for example, went to University of Texas. He was a running back, and he hadn't had so many concussions, so he had to quit. He couldn't play football no more, and he was projected to probably be drafted in the NFL. So that's just an example. Right now, the NFL looking at everybody's health records and history from day one. If you start playing in the seventh grade or high school, they will know from now on that what those are. They track in the concussions, and sometime if a player has had over 3 to 5, they probably won't even touch that player.
Wow, 3 to 5 concussions. But you know, players knowing that though, Byron, they're try their hardest. Now I know I potentially would have when I was that age as well of hiding that. How do you get beyond that piece of them just hiding those concussions? I'm sure at some point they'll reveal themselves.
Well, I think in the past players could hide it, but now with the new structure, the way they're talking about how severe and how serious they want to look at each case and each situation, I think now everything got to be reported. So it's going to be very hard for anyone to hide a concussion because coaches now it was a high school coach this year got sued because I think somewhere outside of Austin, he know that this kid had a concussion and he put him back in the game. And so I think he's getting sued. It's a lot of stuff like that happening around the country. So with that being the case, people are going to really take a look at, you know, the safety of the game.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you're right. It's I can see that, especially as they're establishing that baseline, you know, from all the players and kind of understand where you are. So, you know, I had a colleague, some couple years back, and I was telling him about my experience playing football and my experience, my concussions, you know, was really, 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 really pretty bad, but of course I recovered. And she just asked me the question, you know, if you had boys, would they let them play? And I said, yeah, why wouldn't I? She said, well, what happened to you? Wouldn't you be afraid that happened? I said, well, you know, I'll let them play. But so my question to you is, you know, what advice do you offer parents who's concerned about this now or coaches or whomever about their kids playing the game?
Well, first of all, I would say first, you don't want to make your kid play, even if you're a football fanatic, a football fan.
Sure.
Secondly, if I had a kid, I would probably let him play a little flag football up until the seventh grade, slow down and do some to the game of tackle. But I would want to make sure that he's been to some camps. I think these camps help kids with learning the knowledge of the game, the education of the game. The speed of the game, building up that confidence, and as well as, you know, I would send them to a lot of camps so they can get some true evaluation and they can kind of see the talent level with other kids that age. So I would slowly let them, you know, start participating and to where he know that it's something that he really want to do. I think each person, the level of maturity is a key factor as well. Some kids are just not ready at 10, 12, 13 years old because it is a serious game. And that would be my advice. I would definitely send him to a lot of camps. That way he can kind of gauge it and see the speed and see the comparison of other talents and kids of his age. And then just kind of go from there because I wouldn't be forcing them to play because I want to. And then I would also hear from him and see if that's something that he really want to do.
Right. Let it be their idea. Got it. So what you're saying is more of a transition. I love your point about potentially playing flag into about seventh grade and then making sure they understand the fundamentals. That's what camps do for you, right? Understand the fundamentals.
Exactly.
And then, of course, a transition to tackle in such a way. And to your point, to your earlier point, the speed of the game, the speed of the game
exactly.
is so important. And you just never know, especially as you play with older kids, how fast that game can be.
Right, because some kids got – I remember a kid that grew up with me. He broke his ankle in seventh grade. And he didn't play football no more. So, you know, he got hurt that first time, the first year, and they started playing tackle. And I was very fortunate. I didn't have any kind of major injuries until my senior year at UT Arlington, and I broke my ankle. But other than that, you know, I was pretty well healthy throughout the, high school and college career.
You know, especially speaking of college there, you know, think about the speed of the game, maturity, as you talked about, and the injuries and so forth. I've become a big proponent of taking your red shirt year. And will that also be a factor of playing true freshmen around the maturity level?
Absolutely. I think it's probably less than 1% of true freshmen coming in and really play on the college level. You got the Adrian Peterson, some guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, too, that, you know, basically – you want your child, your kid to really take it slow, get adjusted to the college life, because you're on your own. There's a lot of responsibilities, and, you know, the classrooms and the responsibility that you have to have for keeping a certain grade point average. And so you really becoming a mature person. So your freshman year, you want to kind of get used to what the speed is all about, get used to the coaches and know that it's a big business too. And the college game has immensely changed because it's all about trying to go to a bowl game. It's all about winning.
Yeah.
And now when I came out, I had a four-year scholarship. Now it's a year-to-year renewal for most of these athletes. So if you're not really performing, they take away your scholarship. Take away your scholarship and give it to another person. So
exactly, as my describe it, break your plate.
Break your plate. Exactly.
you know, it was more. Yeah, it was performance, staying out of trouble, hitting your books, the whole package, right? And but yeah, I agree with you around the proponent, because you know, just a short, quickly on me, where if I was born 2 or 3 days later, I probably been in the prior class, and then I played as a true freshman, and I really didn't see my body mature until as I was entering my senior year in college. And I really missed, even though I love playing as a true freshman, but I think I missed out on that really mature level of my body once I really started getting strong and fast and that type of thing. So I'm a big proponent of that.
Yeah, and I really, my best 40 time that I could run, I was age 26. So
mm-hmm.
I just thought to show you, so from age 14 to 26, your body's still got a lot of capability. You know, capacity of maximizing the talent and speed and blah blah blah. So that just goes to show you still got a lot of improvement left, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, we started with a question of, you know, how do you keep the head in the game? You kind of answered it from the perspective of, you know, the technology that's advancing, the new testing, you know, the understanding maturity of bodies and so forth. You know, is the game you mentioned earlier about going to try to keep integrity of the game, but is the game at risk in any way that you can think about, or something that we hadn't picked up and talked about in the last hour or so?
No, I don't think the game at risk. I think right now the owners are really happy with the numbers that's coming out with the merchandise selling and the players and, I think the game is not at risk. I just think now what that happened was the truth that came out about the concussion, and they kept it a secret. So now that just kind of hit home that now you have to do an education component and an awareness component for the safety of everyone that plays the game. So I think the integrity of the game, like I said earlier, will still be in place. And I think the game will not be hurt because of the way they show it on TV and the way they, you know, the excitement of the game and people having their favorite team, their favorite players. And so each town that hosts a city to have a team, I think revenues have been really, really good. And a lot of people don't know this, but the NFL is a profit-sharing group of guys who are the owners, they profit-share. So if you win one game or you win 15 games, you know, you stand and still make a profit for that season.
Sure. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that is a great model. So when to answer my question, you know, yeah, it's going to, your head's going to keep it, stay in the game because of education and awareness. And that's what really was driving a lot of your work at the Players Association here in Dallas, correct?
Yeah, correct. Correct. And they also got USA Football and other little organizations. They got a head-up program, just you said, heads in the game. They got a head-up concussion program now that they're going with the youth. And so off the field component, youth leagues, high schools, and they got players coming out, and they have videotapes now that they're showing. And a lot of people don't realize this, but training camp, players spend a lot of time watching videotapes and the safety and all these different educational components to make the game the way it is now. So it's very intensified.
Right. And just adding to the film work is already included in just learning the game, right?
Yeah, and most people know it's kind of like work made by, you report in at 8 o'clock and you usually be there from 5 to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's kind of like a job, too, when the football season starts.
Yeah, exactly. It's not where you're just going to practice and going home. There's a lot of work behind this, a lot of work behind this.
Absolutely.
You know, we started off talking about you, talking about your testimony, right, and testimony, and even as well as how you impact kids and how you kind of share the ABCs when it comes to the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And even you talked about when guys are having challenges over your career and even after your career, how they come to you and want some prayer and really because they know you and understand the Lord, you know. How much does your relationship with the Lord play in all that you do?
Well, I think it's the most incredible, most important thing. I have seen it with the reflection of my daughters, how they've been tremendously blessed. And I just thank God for the grace and mercy that He has given just to have a relationship with Him. And I think, you know, each day I start my day with the Lord and I end my day with the Lord. And throughout the day, you know, I try to read Scripture every day and every day. I had shared some with a lot of guys over the years, and this is one of the favorite things I shared. I said, if you would do this for me, I call it my 31-day experience. I was born on Halloween, so the 31 days. My favorite scripture, I'm the 8th child out of 10, so my favorite scripture is Romans 8:31b, which means for Byron, for God is for me, who could be against me? So he revealed that verse to me, Romans 8:31. But what I also tried to do, I tell a young player, have you ever done Proverbs for 31 days in a row? You know, if you got July the 1st, you just read through Proverbs 1. And you go back through the Proverbs and you just pray over something that really stood out, something that just keep, that speak to your spirit, and you pray over that. And so you do it 31 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And you commit yourself. At the end of that 31 days, God would do a miracle in your life for you. And everyone I had to do this experience and came back and told me, Byron, you are absolutely right. It's just amazing if you can do something and spend time with God and be consistent with doing it. And prayer is being consistent. Prayer is your way of communicating with Him. Not all the time praying that I want a bigger house, I want this or that, but just praying, say, God, thank me for your era. Thank you for my health and my strength. Thank you for the ability to think. Thank you for the ability of people who love me, that's in my life, people that you shared, people that share the same coming and going with me. You said earlier, we are all sometimes equally yoked. Put around people of like-mindedness that I know the will that you want for me. And that's what I can share each and every day when I talk to these athletes. You got to walk right, talk right. That's what the disciples, they were sometimes it's all trying to impress Jesus, but Jesus said, whoever can humble themselves like this little child. So that's why, you know, you have to go back and think about what can I do for me? What can I do for a young person? What can I share with this young person that's going to give him something for eternity, you know, something that he can work for as the kingdom? And so those things are some of the qualities and the traits that I try to, you know, exhibit and share with other young men, especially guys. Brady James, he called me last week. He said, I want to know who you are, and I heard so much about you. And so when you get a comment like that, you know that it's only by the grace of God that people can put you in the likeness, and you can continue to be the salt of what your assignment is.
Be a disciple. Be a disciple, right, as you started with.
Exactly. And
amazing. Exactly. You know, so friends, try it out. 31 days of Proverbs. And Byron, is how likely, as you started with, when I asked you about the importance of relationship with the Lord, you started with your daughters, and that Proverb 31 hits right into one of noble character, right? So essentially, you know, your discipleship is really growing. I've seen people how they react around you. I've seen it since we've known each other for the last few months, and I say this is a faithful disciple, and he's done a lot of great things. We'll continue to do some. So Byron, as we close out, you know, what's next for you? What can we be in prayer for you going forward?
Well, this week I would just love for the audience to pray for this week's football camp. Brandon Carr, number 39 for the Dallas Cowboys. He went to the Division II school. I did his camp last year. I will be at Duncanville High School this coming weekend on the 28th from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So pray for those kids. Pray that those kids have a life experience on the football field as well as off the football field, and the guys bring messages and encouragement to these young people, because, you know, that's what it's all about. And then the month of July, you know, I kick off another series of football camps. You can go to my website, footballminicamps.com. I kind of got some pictures and some dates and stuff like that. So continue to lift me up in prayer and lift our players up, our network of players that we have here in Dallas. You know, some guys are dealing with all kind of issues, and just keep, you know, just keep these players lifted up. I really appreciate that. So I just thank you that you can continue to do what you do, Eric. I got a chance to know you up close, and I really admire what you're doing and your hard work and your talent level and your ability, your skills, your professionalism. And, you know, I'm just encouraged and inspired just to see and meet you each and every time we sit down and talk. So Those are what I would ask for.
No, hey, you know, well, thank you for that, and I appreciate it. We're not done yet, right? And we're gonna lift Byron up, not only for what he's doing as a disciple for the Lord, but also the kids that he's influenced and those that he brings together, the mentors and the coaches and so forth, who also help to influence those kids and encourage them, and as well as continue to lead. You know, equip him, Lord, in order to lead the group of players that he has influence over. Lord, continue to put him in the right place and strengthen him. And we're going to do that. And Byron, you mentioned your website on how we can find you. Can you say that one more time?
Yes, it's footballminicamps with an S .com, footballminicamps.com. And I do have a link on footballminicamps for bwresources.com, kind of describe a little bit of some of the things that I do for the outreach. But footballminicamps.com. I do have a Twitter account and have a Facebook and all that good stuff. But we're getting ready to activate that even a little more. But footballminicamps, you can always get some information about what we're doing and the ministry that I'm involved in.
Okay, well, great. So we have your LinkedIn on. I have your that website LinkedIn on my Facebook as well, on Q Radio Facebook page as well as my personal one. So those are listening, feel free to hit that link and find out what Byron's doing. Have you uploaded your pictures from this weekend yet?
No, I haven't. I got plenty on my phone and stuff, and I've been getting a lot of different pictures. We had a kid all the way from Chicago at the football camp, because we always give an award to for the farthest travel. But the kid from Longview was the MVP of the camp. So that's the great thing about these camps. You got kids that parents can drop in. I also had met a lady at the hotel. She was an Army lady. She was bringing back her grandkids up here in Dallas, and they spent the night at the hotel, and she had a granddaughter that was 8 and a grandson that was 10, and he never played football, and he was a basketball player, but she stopped me this morning and said they had the best time of their life. She said they want to even start coming next year. So I said, wow.
That's just
amazing. Yeah,
it is. Be touching lives like that. I just love it. So Byron, I appreciate you. Hey, thanks for coming in, and I know you got to get you some rest, and we'll be talking this week, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and best wishes. Hey, thanks, Kennedy, for that great question.
Awesome, thank you.
Hey, well, I appreciate it, and that's Byron Williams, the president of the NFL's Players Association here in Dallas. As you can tell, a disciple, a true servant, and really understands that this world is not about him. It's really about giving the Lord's glory and impacting this generation. And he's using his passion around sports and kids and football and to continue to build his testimony for God's glory. So we thank you for joining us tonight. And feel free to look at our Connect Us on Facebook to look at his link of his website, and it's footballminicamps.com. And so friends, before we close out, you know, we're in a lessness series, and our question of the day has been the NFL held how to keep ahead in the game. We've had some great perspectives from Byron. And at the end of the day, though, there's a lot of challenges that players are going through. And to his point, we want to continue to keep him and others who are serving and in prayers. And I love his quote. I think his quote of the show is, you know, as he shared with kids, bring your attitudes and bring your willingness, and the Lord would do the rest. And that in itself is so powerful, as we see. So, you know, as we continue to close out, you know, now I look back on my concussions, as I shared with you at the beginning of the show. You know, I had one last one on my last game, and I was pretty disoriented along the way. It was hit pretty hard, and but I knew, I tried to keep it away and keep it together. I had no idea that the coaches and trainers kind of knew this thing and were watching me. So essentially, you know, I was having a great game. It was about 160 all-purpose by the halftime. And essentially, it pulled me out, and I was done. Really kind of hissed off, if you will, and there's no way that's going to try to deny me this way to kind of finish. So I tried sneaking back into the game, but, of course, they took my helmet and sent it to the locker room. So after the game, I couldn't take off my pads because, to Byron's point, I was at that point of the wilderness. And what this game has been so much part of my life, it was over. And I just couldn't take them off. You know, I just felt a major part of me just died that day as the mindset I was in. So the coaches sent for reinforcements, and that reinforcement was named Sarah. Sarah J. Powell, my mother. And I still see her face coming around the corner in the locker room after everybody's asked, they ask all the players to kind of, you know, cover themselves, you know, and she asked me what was wrong. And I just said, hey, that it was over. And I said, hey, life's over. I think I was being more melodramatic than anything. She said, life is over. Look at what you accomplished. Did they tell you that you were too small to play college football? And I said, yes, ma'am. Then she said, didn't you win and start on a national championship football team? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you going to graduate? I said, yes, ma'am. So she said, if you prove people wrong, you have a ring, you have a degree, you just got to start another chapter. You need to ask God what that is. And you know, so she said, take off your pads, take a shower, get dressed, and come out with your head up, because this is not for you. It's about your nieces and nephews who are out there waiting for you. So she shook me up. And as you can see, you know, my head wasn't in the game. It wasn't in God's game. You know, football had become my God, the liturgy, and I had taken my eyes off him. And it wasn't the first warning shot, because the Lord took away my intelligence, in a sense, on the first one.
And I'm not saying that he punished me and so forth, but he really was trying to let me see something. And the big concussion was a way of understanding I need to submit. So my mom asked me those questions after the last game, and I believe that she knew I was purposeless. And she and the Lord used her to start and get me back on cue with him and start that process and start that journey as she knew I was called so long ago. So this is my message today and tomorrow. And no matter if you're lacking what you're lacking and no matter your lesslessness, you know, get your head in the game and get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on your life, your purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. So until next week, Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, I would like to thank our special guest, Byron Williams. I have an ask for all of you. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio and follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. Put us on your prayer list, invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. Consider Q Leadership curriculum and training for your church, home, or company. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. There are a few things. We give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me. My dad's better half, best friend, his wife, Ty, my mother. My little sister, Carson. My family, grandmothers, aunts and uncles, friends in life and in Facebook. And we would like to dedicate this show to my Aunt Leola. This has been On Q Radio. Until next week.
Lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.